Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. Guys, this episode today is going to be a big one. Got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the thing we have to address is, in my opinion, the most interesting story I can remember in jiu-jitsu history, at least since I've been involved. Craig Jones versus ADCC is absolutely fascinating. Now, we've seen a lot of different beefs over the years, and I've went over a handful of them on this show. We've talked about Gordon versus about everybody on Attis. We've talked about, obviously, the New Wave and B-Team split. We've seen different 10th Planet beefs play out. We have seen, obviously, the Lloyd Irvin and Fight Sport issues that they've had internally at their team, right? We've seen a lot over the years, and there's so many more. But this one right here, to me, takes the cake. Because we have, in my opinion, the hottest grappler in the world right now. The guy that's kind of moving the meter more than anybody, Craig Jones, going against the most powerful organization in the sport. The one I think that really, really matters. And especially going forward. Like if I said, hey, in 50 years, we're all old, we're looking back, and we are discussing who the GOAT of the sport is, or at least who's on that Mount Rushmore, who are the top four athletes. I think we all can agree that most of us be like, look, ADCC is probably, that's going to be like the benchmark. We see IBJJF is losing more and more credit like with the athletes. We see more and more people not doing it. It seems like more and more athletes just don't care about those titles as much. And again, in 50 years, I think when we look back, we'll be like, man, this guy won three ADCC titles. This guy won four. We're going to really look at who has medaled and who has done well at ADCC, again, when we're looking at the sport's GOATs. And especially with the progress ADCC has made since Mo Jasm's in charge. I mean, Mo, while there are definitely a couple of criticisms I would throw at him, I'd say for the most part, he has done an absolutely fantastic job. The way that he has grown the trials, the way that he has obviously handled the championships. I mean, that last one in 2022 was historic. It was an absolutely incredible event, especially considering the past 10 plus years of those events has really been underwhelming and very amateur level. And he really made it seem like a world championship. And then obviously the Opens. I honestly didn't understand the Opens. It seemed like a cash grab. I didn't think people would support it. And I was completely wrong. And I've said that multiple times, that that is a take that I definitely take an L on. I was wrong about the Opens. They have been amazing and the athletes love them, and they've definitely helped the athletes and the sport grow. Now, Mo, it seems like he has some issues because has a deal with the UFC. And I think this is where people are like, look, obviously, huge championship at the T-Mobile Arena in 2022. It was a huge success. Oh, wait. ADCC is signing with the UFC. The UFC has been very open about trying to grow grappling and trying to start grappling on UFC Fight Pass. And they want it to be a big part of the UFC Fight Pass going forward. I know that EBI and CJJ have always done very, very well. And they're always trying to get Eddie to do more and more shows. Obviously, they've started the Fight Pass Invitational, which supposedly has done very, very well. They just partnered with the PGF, and they're looking to partner with more up-and-coming shows. But for whatever reason, ADCC and Fight Pass, they just did not work out. And supposedly, Mo and Dana do not like each other, and Dana White's one of those dudes. When Dana does not like you, it seems like he wants to destroy you. And it seems like Dana, when he doesn't like a company, organization, or a person, it's like you're blackballed, and he is hoping and praying for your downfall. And he would love nothing more than to see all his enemies crumble before him. And so I don't know if it goes that deep, but yeah, it was like ADCC's leaving Flow Grappling. People were super happy about that, going to UFC. That was like a couple week thing, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, deal gets nixed, and now they're back with Flow Grappling. And I feel like the trials was a success. I feel like Flow Grappling, I'm going to talk a little bit more about them after I say what I got to say about Craig and ADCC. But anyways, it did seem like, dang, like, got to partner with the UFC. Like, if we really want to grow, got to partner with the UFC. And kind of sticking with Flow was like, is Flow really the answer? And I am more and more positive that Flow Grappling is not, and that Flow Grappling is not the future of the sport. But anyways, outside of that failed deal, it was still like, okay, the trials have been a huge success this year. Mo has announced that 2024 is going to be bigger and better. Supposedly, ticket sales, like, pretty much is all sold out already. It's going to be at the T-Mobile Arena again. He's expecting to have like 20,000 people there. He's going to try and make it an even bigger and better show than last time. People are excited. Nothing but positive things for the past couple of years from ADCC until one person, literally only one person, I have heard saying consistently negative things about ADCC, and it just started 7-8 months ago, and that person is Craig Jones. It first started with Flow Grappling hate. Craig started coming at Flow. He was really upset just about little things about Flow, like how they don't take good care of their athletes, how they don't pay for, like, you know, hey, this athlete, I think it was like Nikki Ryan. Hey, Nikki Ryan's got a match coming up on Flow. Nikki goes out there, does his thing. They don't get him a hotel room. They don't treat him well. He acted like you know, Nikki's doing all this stuff for him and they don't take care of their guys. And he acts like that's a pretty common thing. Now, from what I've heard about the Flow Grappling guys, and I know people that have been on the show, I know athletes that have been on the show, and then obviously I know people that have worked on the show, Flow Grappling, it sounds like they're not the most professional. It's not the most professionally run organization. And I can definitely see them treating athletes unprofessionally, and I can see them, I don't want to say taking advantage of athletes, but just not treating them like they should. Now, I'm not saying these dudes need to be making 5K a match by any means, but man, when you got some of these dudes who are literally giving everything to this sport and you're not getting them a hotel room, when you're just not paying them, I mean, you're not even paying them $1,000 a match, like, and you're saying that this is the most prestigious organization, it just makes you question, right? And I've always wanted to know how much Flow Grappling's making, because in some ways I think, and I'm like, man, I bet these guys are making a killing. And then other ways I'm like, look, maybe they're not. Maybe they're not making much money. Maybe they don't have the money to pay. But in my mind, I really do think these dudes have enough money to pay people coming on, let's just say the WNO Championship, their most prestigious event. They can pay these athletes $2,000. Each one of them, hey, $2,000 to come do the match, plus a win bonus. Obviously, the stars, if you're main eventing right now, Marigali, hey, $5,000, maybe even $10,000. But it should be a minimum $2,000 to do a show like that. But yeah, Craig's coming out, calling him out for the pay, calling him out for just not hooking him up with accommodations, calling him out for just really, really poor management during the events. I think he was talking about couple of the press conferences were just really badly ran, just different issues with Flow, right? But then it starts bleeding into ADCC. And I don't know if it really just comes down to money issues. Like, is Craig really just fighting for increased athlete pay? Or is there something deeper going on between him and Mo or him and somebody else in the ADCC organization? I don't know. I'm just speculating. And I think many of us, right, or at least a lot of people, they hear Craig and they kind of like, you know, it's Craig Jones. How much can we really believe? Craig is a notorious jokester and prankster. He's constantly just ribbing and going in on people, but I really feel like there's a lot of truth in what Craig says. And I feel like if you listen to Craig, and you kind of listen closely to some of the subliminal messages, you can really learn a lot. And I think he said a lot of things about like the new wave B team split. And I think there's a lot of really interesting he says where he's not spelling things out directly, but he really kind of points to some really interesting things that happened, between Gordon and the rest of the guys. But anyways, him and ADCC, he starts coming out going, hey guys, I'm going to run this charity event. I'm going to do a seminar a couple days before ADCC. Everything that I make, I'm going to give to the athletes. And we're all kind of like, okay, Craig, like, go do that. Go do your little charity seminar thing. How is that really going to help? What are you going to give each athlete, like $500? I mean, we're talking about 100 athletes competing. Like, you would have to just to give each athlete $1,000, you're gonna have to come up with a lot of money, and that's just to give them $1,000. But Craig comes out of nowhere and he starts going, hey, I think I'm gonna start my own tournament. I'm gonna call it the BACC. And we're all like, what? Like, that's not BAC. Like, what in the hell? Like, what are you talking about, Craig? But this Ozzy has somehow found $3 million and he is trying to turn this sport upside down. He is trying to destroy ADCC. And I think we can now safely say that Craig's championship will be the same weekend as ADCC. Now, Craig today posted some things to Instagram as well as Reddit. And on his Instagram, he posted, hey guys, athletes competing at ADCC, do not sign a contract. So he's saying ADCC representatives are approaching athletes and wanting them to sign a contract that they will be competing at the tournament. And he also said athletes are telling me that they're offering them now $250 vouchers for food for the weekend. And Craig's like, look, don't sign it. Make sure you keep that weekend open. If you need anything or if you have any questions, please message me. I would love to talk to you. And Craig goes on, to say, like, look, I'm basically wink, wink, doing my tournament that weekend. He's basically just confirmed it. And look, here's my thing about that. I can understand Mo and the ADCC organizers being in a position where it's like, hey, we need to know who's going to do our event. They're going to be flying athletes out from all over the world. And they need a heads up, like, hey, are you doing this or not? If not, well, we need to know so we can get somebody else or give somebody else your spot so they can start planning for it and we can, you know, get their ticket and everything squared away. I mean, the championships are in August. It's only a couple of months away. And it seems like Craig's trying to spring it on him kind of last minute. Like, hey guys, $1 million tournament, same weekend. It's right down. I mean, we're talking about they're going to be in the T-Mobile Arena and Craig's going to be in Las Vegas as well. And he's going to be right down the road running a tournament, giving out, 100x what ADCC is. And so ADCC, of course, feels super threatened. And they also are like, man, we just need to know who's with us and who's not. I think that's reasonable. And that's what Mo said. So Mo actually commented on Craig's post. And he was like, look, not true. ADCC has never done contracts. We never will do contracts. But he did say, we want to know. We just want a heads up. Are you planning on doing it or not? So I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's like wanting a guarantee. I don't know if that means contract or not. He's saying it's not, but it's like I understand from his side. Like I just said, like he's flying in a dude from Europe and they show up and then they decide to do Craig's tournament. It's like he just paid for that dude to come over and do Craig Jones, his arch nemesis now's $1 million tournament. And then he's got to find replacements right away. Like, this could be an absolute disaster for them. Now, Mo hasn't come out from what I've seen, really. I mean, he's made, because people have come at Mo a little bit in the comments and stuff, like, I can't believe, because Craig started it, you know, especially when Craig will let everybody know, which most people, myself included, like, I thought each division winner won $40,000. Well, Craig let the whole world know, no, it is $10,000 to win. You do not get paid if you do not medal. And so those guys that lose, even if they win their first match, lose the second, their top 16 in the world make nothing, right? Well, Mo's come out and been like, look, ADCC is not profitable. And Mo, in Craig's comments, came with it again, like, hey, I have paid, he says that he has paid $700,000 of his own money. He has lost that being the head organizer of ADCC. He went on to say that he has helped numerous athletes. He has paid for countless athletes' rent, you know, when they couldn't afford it. And he has helped start schools. And he has done a lot for the athletes. And it definitely seems like he has. I mean, over the years, you know, it's a pretty known thing that Mo has definitely helped out certain people. Obviously, he helped out a lot of the New Wave guys. Seems like also some of the B Team guys as well, especially when they were in Puerto Rico. I'm sure there's other athletes that he has definitely taken care of. I'd never heard anything bad about Mo until recently. And I don't even think Craig has come out and said anything bad about Mo. It's really just ADCC and how they haven't increased their pay. And look, here's my thing about it, right? I look at, let's just say, the PGF. And PGF versus ADCC. ADCC has been around for 20 plus years. It started with the Saudis. Essentially, you have a sheikh. I can't remember his name. He's got like 15 names anyway, so I couldn't remember it all. But you have a sheikh, gets his black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He wants to start something prestigious. There's a bunch of different guys that he is like. So there's a bunch of different ADCC organizers. Each continent has their own. Mo is the head organizer of the North American ADCC, and he runs the trials as well as the championships that take place, because they have been in North America the past few times, and this upcoming one is obviously in Vegas. Now, the prize money has stayed the same. It was $10,000 at the start, and it is still $10,000 in 2024. Now, you would think, with 20 plus years, plus, you know, you hear all these guys, I've heard how these sheiks, and you see, I've seen pictures of them with ADCC champions. I've seen videos of them training with ADCC champions. You hear about all the money they have, how they're just these super rich, powerful people. Yet, the prize pool has not increased. And I'm not saying it's the sheiks or, you know, these guys in Abu Dhabi that it's their responsibility to pay grapplers. It's not. But at the same time, you just can't convince me that the best ADCC can do is $10,000 to the champion. We're talking about once every 2 years, them paying $10,000. It just blows my mind. There's just no way, especially when I've seen what the PGF can do. Brandon and Keelan started the PGF at 10th Planet Decatur, a random ass city in the middle of Alabama. It started in our school. It eventually upgraded. And we started getting to use a local church's venue. And they have a nice venue, a lot of nice stuff. But we went from season one literally being in our really, really hot gym during the 2020 summer to 2024, the most recent season that just took place a couple weeks ago, being in Vegas, and over $150,000 was given out to just the athletes. Six people made $20,000. And here's the crazy thing, right? Six people made $20,000. That's more than ADCC is going to pay out for their world championships. And now look, PGF, these guys killed it. I know that there have been multiple sponsors that came paid into it. I know they had a deal with UFC Fight Pass. And look, here's the thing. This upcoming season in November, Brandon's already started working on it. He's contacting different sponsors. People are contacting him to sponsor. He's trying to work out another deal with the UFC. He's got all this stuff going on, right? But the athletes are going to get paid very, very well again. And who knows? It might even be more. And so you just can't tell me that with some really hard work and just putting an effort in, that you can't find a way. And I'm not saying every athlete at ADCC. I mean, it would be nice if each one of those guys made $1,000. But you just can't tell me that there's no way. It's like, hey, we're gonna pay the athletes $20,000. Once every 2 years, yeah, let's make it $25,000. Hell, let's make it $50,000. You just can't tell me that nobody has been able to raise money or find sponsorships or just find a way. And that Craig Jones, here's the thing. Again, we're talking about PGF, middle of nowhere, Alabama, has found a way to do it. Aiga, out in Kazakhstan, a country I think many of you probably have no clue where it is on the map. Probably some of you have never even heard of that country. And they're doing a $1 million tournament next year. Winning team, giving out $1 million in the championship. Craig Jones, this random Australian grappler, right? This kid who trained in the middle of nowhere, Australia, finds a way to somehow make it big, goes to his first ADCC championships, taps Leandro Lowe, taps out Leandro Lowe, is the star, the breakout star of that tournament, but has never won ADCC. Is never going to go down like a top 10 grappler of all time. I mean, obviously people love him, but it's Craig Jones, right? He has found a way to somehow get $3 million from somebody, convince somebody to give him $3 million, and he's going to give $1 million out to the winner. And ADCC can't do better than $10,000. They haven't raised it in 20 plus years. You can't convince me that that's just a huge, huge, huge missight or just mishandling by ADCC. Now, Mo's like, look, guys, I'm spending the money. This is what he said on this post that Craig Jones said, you know, because he's going back and forth with people in the comments. And he's like, look, I'm spending money. I'm choosing to spend money on the production side of things and the show. And the profit and the revenue will come later. And that's where we'll really start paying the athletes. Like, that's when the big pay will increase. But right now, that's just not a possibility. But again, I know where I saw the PGF a couple of years ago. I know what I saw, like, in Kazakhstan with Aiga. Craig Jones has already shown he's got $3 million. You just cannot tell me that there's not like two or three people like, hey, ADCC, we're going to have two or three people. Their sole job is to get money, to get this thing funded from different sponsors and stuff like that. I don't care if it's donations. I don't care if we got to start a GoFundMe. I don't care if we have to sell instructionals. Hey, we're going to do an ADCC Champions Instructional, but we're going to find a way to get these guys paid very, very well. At least let's double the money this year. And I think if we saw that, and I think that's probably the issue that Craig's having, and maybe some of these other athletes, it's like, hey, we saw last championship. You're saying it's going to be 10 times bigger. There's going to be way more people there. I'm sure Flo's making a huge killing off having the exclusive rights to it. Where is our cut? Now, in other professional sports, so let's just take the NBA, right? Because you guys know I'm a huge NBA head. In the NBA, there is a Players Association. So the Players Association is led by, I believe it's Joe Dumars. So Joe Dumars, multiple-time champion with the Detroit Pistons. He was part of the Bad Boys. But I believe Joe Dumars, I'm almost positive, is the head of the Players Association. And so they are the ones that deal with the owners and represent the players to the owners and the head of the league, people that are in charge of the NBA. And just recently, I believe this last offseason, they signed a new collective bargaining agreement. So essentially, they were talking about total revenue of the NBA. It was in billions of dollars, right? And the players are getting a bigger cut of that deal, right? And so prior to the Players Association, it was something crazy like the owners and the league took like 95% of the revenue, right? They took most of the money that was coming into the NBA. And so guys were making nowhere near what they deserved. And it's kind of back when people are like, look, if you own the team, you should get to, like, you're the owner, you should get to determine how much you pay the players, and you determine what the fair cut is. But we all know when you allow individuals to, like, I'll tell you what the fair cut is, when they just have 30, and at the time it was what, like maybe 18 owners of the league, they were the ones solely deciding how much they were going to pay the players and what a fair split was. I'm telling you again, it was like 95-5. Well, now it's almost 50-50. And you see the players, everybody's doing well, right? The owners and the teams, all that money keeps going up. The evaluations for the teams, obviously some of that's with inflation, but evaluations of what the teams are worth have continued to go up. The owners are happy and the players are happy. They're getting paid very, very, very good money now. There are so many players that are making $10 plus million a year, and the superstars of the league are all making in the $40 to $50 million range a year. But they needed a union. They needed a representative or a group that represented them when dealing with the league and the owners. And is that what Craig Jones is doing here? Is he trying to start a little jiu-jitsu union? Is he fighting against the man? Because Craig's like, look, my championship, it's going to be free. So I'm assuming it's just going to be on YouTube. It's going to be free to the masses. You're not going to have to buy some shady flow membership. It's going to be free to attend. Ticket sales will be free. Just come, have a good time. All the money is going to the athletes, right? All the money. So, what is going to happen, you know? And I know Mo has got to be absolutely losing his mind right now. Because, again, he is working and he is trying to set up the biggest championships in history. He doesn't even know who he can rely on to show up. If you would have said after last ADCC, hey, in 2 years, after this 2022, in 2 years, we're going to really not even know who's going to attend. Like, there's a possibility that all the champions from the divisions don't go and do that. They're going to do a different tournament that same weekend. We'd be like, there's no way. I remember after that tournament, people were just like, look, I am training because I want to be in the 2024 championships. Hey, I'm going to take this serious. I'm going to train just ADCC rules. I'm going to go to all the opens. I'm going to do both trials. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm in the world championships. And now we're all like, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows who's going to show up to ADCC or who's going to show up to the BACC? Now, switching gears a little bit. Guys, flow grappling is dying. It just is. The WNO event that took place on Friday night. I watched it. Here's what I'll say. First of all, I'll be honest. I watched it free on YouTube, and then I found a stream. Did not have flow grappling for it. I just don't know why I would pay for flow grappling anymore. I just feel like for whatever reason, they've stopped putting on good events. Like, I feel like they constantly every weekend had grappling events in the past, but it's like now it's just really crappy footage of IBJJF events that you can watch. Some of their best stuff is, yeah, they'll go to different gyms, but it's like 5 minute clips and it'll be like a 4 minute roll and then they'll talk to like Mika Galvao. And I'm like, no, I want to see, like, that would to me be totally worth it, is if we got really detailed footage from them going to different camps, right? Like, hey, we're going to watch Mika Galvao, and we're going to put on not just these little 4 minute, I want to see him do like three 10s. or I want to see really in-depth stuff, right? But they don't do very much of that. Or again, when they do, it's like really, really short footage. There's not a lot of it, and it almost always just leave you like, man, like there's got to be more from this, right? Like you just didn't fly all the way down to Brazil and then just get like 8 minutes of you talking to Mika Galvão. Like, where's all the footage at? But anyways, so I'm watching WNO. And guys, I do not understand the Flow Grappler, just a lot of these different promotions. And I will say with the PGF, that was like my one criticism, is I think there were a couple of athletes that, in my opinion, weren't exciting. In my opinion, weren't PGF athletes. And if you would have had a couple more of them on there, it could have really ruined the show. Now, it didn't. The PGF overall to me was like a 8.5 or 9 out of 10. It was a phenomenal show. But yeah, like I said, if you just had a couple more dudes that were just out there stalling and just putting on boring matches, it's like, I mean, man, like, I turn this off. So I say that to say, Wagner Rocha, why in the world is he still main eventing the biggest? I'm doing apostrophe. You guys can't see it. I'm making some apostrophe with my hands. But why is he headlining the biggest grappling shows in the world? This dude has put on some of the worst matches in the past 5 years. In fact, the worst grappling event, I take that back. The second worst grappling event that I have ever watched, Nicky Rod was, I think, was he the main event? I can't remember if he was the main event or not, but he was going against, what's his name, the wrestler, and Elder Cruz. So Nicky Rod and Elder Cruz had a match. It was absolutely horrible. Wagner Rocha had a match with Josh Hinger, which was probably the worst match I've ever seen. And there were a couple of other terrible matches on there. And I just remember being like, what? Why? What am I doing with my life? Like, I'm here. I'm trying to watch this as a fan. And this is literally the worst, second worst, because the Kyle Chambers versus Isaac Michelle, that's the worst event I've ever seen in my life. But outside of that, this one I'm thinking, what am I? This is absolutely horrible. And Wagner has put on multiple matches. And here's what Wagner does. He doesn't take any risks. He just backs up, especially if he feels like he isn't the superior grappler. He just headbutts. He'll take two steps back and then lead with his head. Take two steps back, try and grab the people's fingers and hands and twist them. He takes two steps back. Clubs really hard to the head. Then he'll start pushing the guy forward. So it's like always forward and backwards, but very rarely takes a shot unless there's like 2 minutes left. I'll take a shot, but like, dude, the dude is not exciting. The dude is not even remotely close to somebody that should be headlining these main events. Now, his kids were phenomenal on Friday night. Jasmine and his son, Achilles. Achilles has just been tearing it up recently. And so, yeah, I guess it was kind of cool to have, I guess, the whole Rocha family on. Again, kids killed it. I'm a big fan of Jasmine. I think she is phenomenal. Achilles killing it right now. His finish was sick. But I'm like, dude, Wagner Rocha, please. And then Felipe versus Lovato. It's like, guys, Felipe, he needs to just figure. Does he want to be there? It's like Felipe's retired. Or it's just like, I mean, I don't know how much they're paying him. I've kind of, you know, from what Craig says and what other people like, I can't imagine it's a lot. I mean, is he making it $5,000 a match? There's no way he's making 10 or more, right? But the dude just, yeah, he beat Lovato. Lovato's old. Wasn't excited. It's a 15-minute match. Really poor wrestling. Philippe gets tired, but he don't want to watch it, you know? And I think they did a pretty decent job of like getting mismatches on there, so there were lots of finishes. To me, by far, the brightest spot on the card was Nicky Ryan. So Nicky Ryan versus JT Torres. Incredible, incredible match for Nicky Ryan. But, man, I'm telling you, I was just like, man, those last two matches, especially watching Wagner. And luckily, Marigali is so good that he could overcome the stalling tactics of Wagner Rocha, but they do need some type of stalling call, and they do need some type of like, hey, you've got 15 minutes. And if you spent 5 minutes and you've literally taken nothing but backward steps and you haven't even attempted a takedown, you haven't attempted anything, we're not inviting you back. It's not like they do this every weekend, right? It's like with the UFC, they have a bad fight. It's like, look, they're putting on 10 fights in, every Saturday. You're going to have one or two bad ones here and there, right? But you hear Dana afterwards. You talk about the fastest way out of the UFC is you go on and put on a really boring performance. If you're trying to make the UFC and you're trying to fight safe, you heard. I mean, I've heard Dana multiple times rip into fighters for fighting too safe and being not fan, like your style's not fan friendly. I get it. You're a winner, but people don't care if you win that way. That's what I feel like with a lot of these grapplers. But yeah, that's the quickest way out of the UFC. And I'm like, guys, please, somebody, take a stand and just, hey, we're not inviting Wagner Rocha anymore. Or some of these guys, we're not in, we're, why are you main event? Why are you? I get it. Hey, you show up 3 out of 10 times, you'll have a fun match to watch. We're even just talking about 50%. Hey, 5 out of 10 times, you have a fun match. We're talking about 5 times, you're putting on absolute snooze fest. You're putting on absolute stinkers. So, Flow Grappling, ADCC, Craig Jones, what is going to happen in 3 months? What is going to happen? Because let's say this thing goes terribly, right? There's two things that could happen. Like I said, I think Flow's dying. I feel like this show kind of just shows like... The other thing I wanted to say about this W1 event was the crowd, right? There was nobody there. And that's the thing I loved about the PGF. I can't believe people didn't like the couch. I thought the couches looked absolutely incredible. I thought it looked super sick. Yeah, maybe it was a little bit bougie, but super cool. You obviously had all these very high-profile jiu-jitsu and MMA people in those seats. And so it kind of looked a little elitist. I think that was the biggest criticism, was like, oh, it's elitist. It looks like, you know, you just have these elites sitting around watching people fight for scraps of food. And it's like, look, these dudes, I get it if these dudes weren't getting paid. We're talking about these dudes. 6 of them got paid $20,000. It wasn't just rich people. Hey, we're just having these dudes. We're paying them. And the winners get to eat tonight. It's like, nah. These dudes are all getting paid very, very well. And even the guys that didn't do well still got paid $1,000 to show up. So nobody walked out of there starving, right? They all got taken care of very, very well. But anyways, yeah, the couch looks super sick. And the idea behind it was like, look, it's going to be out in Vegas. We don't know how many people we're going to get. We don't want a bunch of empty seats like at the WNO. It just looks super unprofessional. You've got all these seats and nobody's sitting in them. And that thing was a ghost town. And as an athlete or as a coach, when you go to those things and you show up and you see it, it kind of makes you feel like an amateur. You're like, damn, nobody even showed up to support us. And especially when you can go to some super low-level local MMA fights and there will be 500, 600, 700 people there. Easy. I've never been to an MMA event that wasn't sold out. Almost all those events are literally people just standing. Because all the seats are taken and people are just having to try to find a way to watch the fights. So yeah, that was to me, and it was like another big like, ah man, Brandon, like Brandon and Keelan, whoever thought of that? Whichever one of those, Heather, thought of it, like genius move with the couches. But yeah, I think Flow's on its way out, but one of two things happens, right? So either, what if ADCC goes, hey, look, we hear you, Craig, we hear you, community. We're going to find a way to pay each athlete $1,000, and we're going to increase. First place is making 20, second place is making 10, third place is making five, and fourth place is making 2,500. And then each athlete that shows up will do $500 this time. Would that be enough? Or, which I think is more likely going to happen, is ADCC is like, no, we're doing the exact same. They're going to kind of put up the middle finger of like, look, choose. Either come to our championship or go to Craig's championship. What it sounds like is that the athletes are going to be very, very divided. And it looks like we might see a real split. Maybe it's 50-50 split. Half the talent goes to ADCC, half the talent goes to Craig's. With that split, obviously that's going to split the viewership. A lot of people are going to choose Craig's because it's free. And it's also just kind of the sexier route. Like if I said, hey, we have this ADCC, we have ADCC going on, right? Which is obviously a big deal. It's the Olympics of our sport. But we also have this new thing, and the winner is going to make $1 million. Somebody is going to become a millionaire from winning a grappling tournament. Oh, and it's also free on YouTube. You can't tell me that, okay, hey, even the people that are watching ADCC, they're going to have that free thing up, and they're going to watch it. It's going to be a huge success, and the numbers are going to be huge. And so let's say it's split, the viewership split, and maybe even there's more viewership for Craig's thing. What does that do for the future outlook of ADCC? Will this be the last year Mo runs it? Because like I said, Mo's been a very, very good thing for the sport and a very, very good thing for ADCC. Does he just go, F this, I'm out. Why would I keep going? Like we have these, you know, in his mind, we have these spoiled, entitled brats. We have Craig Jones, this evil, evil man who is trying to force us to pay money we don't have. I'm out. Who's going to take over? Who knows? Does it go back to just being, you know, are we going back to just doing ADCC trials in random gymnasiums all across the country? Or does ADCC squash Craig's event? Does Craig just get zero commitment? And is it just a huge bust? Is it just a huge like, hey, Craig, you tried to ruin this thing and you can't? I don't know. But I can definitely see a thing where it's like, all right, this is Mo's last year. He's done. He's tired of the BS, the drama. And then obviously with all this going down, it's just not worth it. Who takes over? Who knows? And then what if this becomes a thing? What if Craig is like, hey, I've literally made it my life mission to destroy ADCC. And this one, oh yeah, ADCC next 2 years, you're going to do 1 in 2 years. That's the next BACC number twos, same weekend 2 years from now. We'll see you there. And the money at the end of the day talks. If ADCC doesn't start paying their athletes more, there's going to be more and more athletes choosing to do promotions that pay them and treat them well. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. I hope you have a great week.